Here is your authority.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. You don't need any other authority. If you somebody tries to say, well, I'm in authority, you say, how do you chuck up with the Word of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean, listen, I know you work, and I know you got a boss, and so they got authority in the workplace, but the Bible covers that.
Oh.
Amen. Except when the boss tells you to do something that's not according to the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
When he wants you to lie to a customer to get the order. I'm just giving an example, whatever. Sorry, you don't do that.
That's right.
Can't do it. And lie to tell the customer whatever he wants to hear. I'll tell you this much. Now, I've missed God along the way and a couple times. And I had a partner that in business and he was a good salesman. And we were moving along fine, except he'd like to sell. And he'd promise the customer anything to get the order. I mean, he already knew it was going to take 6 weeks just to get the order placed and get all the materials in and get it done. But the customer needed it in 2 weeks. So he'd tell him it's coming in 2 weeks. And one day I was on the phone and the customer called. I told him the truth. And I went to him. I said, don't you ever tell I'm wrong and expect me not to say it, the truth, because I won't do it for you. If it's going to take 6 weeks, it's going to take 6 weeks. If it cost us the order, fine. And there were some big orders. But it doesn't matter, because God will take care of you. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So I'm just telling you that we can follow that word. It is final authority.
Yes.
And if anybody asks you to do anything against that word, you don't do it.
That's right.
You stop. And you tell them what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm going to do because the word says that. That's my authority. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if we do that, it's going to work. But the word of God has power because it's backed up. God is love. God is
love.
Love.
Yes.
We're going to talk about love some more. I can't get away from love. I'm saying, Lord, yeah, but, and I'm in the middle of that study I told you about from my former pastor, and I've got back on it some today, but he added a whole lot more. I've mixed in something, because I'm still reading after Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, and others, and read their magazine, and all of a sudden, all I'm seeing is love.
Praise God.
But let me tell you something. Love's the foundation for everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is love, period.
He is love.
It's the foundation. And it's faith. We could talk about faith, praise God. And I love to talk about faith, principles. But the main thing behind faith worketh by
love.
See, everything comes back to love. It's our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning and it's the end.
That's right.
The Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. And everything in between is love. Amen?
Amen.
God is love.
Yeah.
And we've already used this scripture, but I'm reviewing a little bit here, but you'll understand. 1 Corinthians 13:13, New King James, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And we're without excuse, because Romans 5:5 says in the NLT, it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You can't get away from love. God put it right down on the inside of you. He put it there for a reason, because the only way the world is going to see God is through you. The only way that the world is going to know that God loves them is because of the love of God placed in you. You're giving it out. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. And then for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Then Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love.
Mm-hmm.
The NLT says it this way, For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love.
Amen.
Faith has to have expression. And the only expression faith can have is love.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And the Passion Translation puts it this way. All that matters now is living in faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. You want your faith perfected? You want, praise God, your faith so active, praise God, that you just know that you know because you're standing in faith?
Mm-hmm.
Got to go by love. Hallelujah. God is love.
Yeah.
You can't get away from love. We're never going to get away from love. It's always going to be the foundation. We sung the song this night. Love, our firm foundation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We need a working knowledge of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is love. God's love produces action that is the foundation for us to walk in faith. 1 John 3:16 through 18 in the NLT says this. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. Hallelujah. It doesn't say that you've got to go out and just give everything away because you're somebody's in need. That's not what that scripture said. It said if you have the means, if your needs are met, and praise God, and you've got more than enough, and I'll be, and listen, you guys are givers, and I know God is increasing you in abundance. And he's doing that for a reason, because when you're out there in the world, that's when people are going to see you. And your love and action is when there's a need out there, and God says to open up your billfold and take care of it. And just tell them God loves you. Amen.
And
one of the best places to do that, of course, is going to restaurants. I'm just waiting for the day. Now my wife's not heard this before, but I'm waiting for the day. Walk into the restaurant and because I've heard others do it, and the bill is $25 and you give the waitress a tip for $100.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for the day until I can do that. It's coming. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you talk about love. Hallelujah. See, and that lets you know where your heart is when you can do that. Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you love money so much, you're so tight, you can't even get that normal tip out of your out of there. There are people who go into the restaurants all the time, don't leave any tips.
That's true.
Because they want to hang on to that money. They love it so much. I'm just so glad, praise God, that the love of God just says, give.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's all free. I wasn't intending on saying that. Glory to God. But praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 John 3:18 and 16 through 18 in the NLT says, we know that we are real love because Jesus gave us of his life. So we ought to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone had enough money to live well and see a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let not merely say that we love each other, but let's show the truth by our actions. The Passion Translation in verse 18 says it this way. Beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about. You know, a lot of Christians, you go in a lot, they talk about love. We can talk about love, but it's just, if all you're doing is talking about, it's abstract. It's theory. And love's not a theory. Love is a way of life because God is love and he lives inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
So love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. A way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds or our actions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Ephesians 3:14-19. Again, this has become a foundation scripture for me. And you'll recognize it. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. You've heard me say it. You're going to hear me say it over and over and over again. The resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. The extravagant love poured into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. God is love. How I want to be filled with the fullness of God. That means we're going to be filled full of His love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So they used to talk about, you know, having the word, your word level up, and Satan went to poke it and get at you. You know, every time he poke at you, you know, just the word would come out. Well, every time he pokes at you, if you're filled with the fullness of God, the love comes out. Not for him, but the love for the word comes out.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. And the word comes out, and Satan knows he's defeated. Praise God. Love defeats the enemy every time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was reading in Brother Hagin's magazine this week, and anybody remember who Cameron Arnett is? We did go to a movie here, didn't we? Called Overcomers?
Yes.
He was in that movie.
Oh.
He was the one laying in the hospital bed, the blind one.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay. The coach came and talked to him.
Yes. And the coach came and talked to him, and then his daughter found him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. We are called to be active. Well, he was an actor. And a pretty successful actor. He played Thomas Hill in that movie, Overcomers. But he found himself in a situation in which he did not compromise his Christian life when asked to do a partial nudity scene in a movie. He says, I don't do nudity. And his agent said, well, I'll talk with him and see if we can work that out. And he came back and we got it all worked out. What we'll do is you won't have to do that scene. We'll just have a stand-in do it. And God said to him, you abstain from all appearances of evil. So he didn't take that. And he appeared to have lost his acting career. I mean, it just dried up for him. And in the process of losing his acting career, he lost his acting career and family over that decision. He went through bankruptcy and lost everything. His wife left him, divorced him, and took the kids with him. But he did not give up on his newly found faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are called to be actors. He was an actor. And it says over time things got a little better. He had an encounter with God. And God said to him, what do actors do? He heard a voice say, I don't know, O Lord, your God. Tell me, what do actors do? Actors create a new reality. They allow people to suspend their own belief system in favor of a different reality. You know, because they're acting. It's not their real life, but they're acting. They're acting. It gives people a different reality. Now, on the negative side of that, it's those stupid soap operas.
Yeah.
Too many people turn into those soap operas because they're looking for a different reality. They lose themselves. And that's not what we're talking about. And that's not what God was saying to him. Then he heard these words. He said, Cammy, you've been on stage and won many awards for acting. You create a different reality. What I want you to do is teach my people how to act like me. You get that?
Yeah.
He refused to act like the world. He refused to go with the world. But you're a master, and I want you to go out there and teach my people how to act like me. Any actors in here? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to teach my people that the Bible is the only script. Jesus is the only character. The Holy Spirit is the writer. Embody that. Be Christ in your skin. Have the mind of Christ. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is the writer. The Bible is the only script. We're acting. What do we act out? We act out the Word of God. What did I tell you? The Word of God, it's final authority.
Yes.
And so every place you go, you just act out the Word of God. Who's on the inside of you? Jesus. And the only actor you have, the only character is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the writer. So what are you doing? Wherever you go, praise God, you're taking the Word, you're just acting out what the Word says. You're acting like Jesus wherever you go. Now that brings me, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll just say it here and we'll catch up a little bit later. What did Jesus do when he walked on this earth? He showed us something. He showed us how to walk in love. Because he wasn't walking down here on earth as the Son of God. He walked as the Son of Man. He walked just like you and I. And every place he went, he walked in the love of God. He carried the love of God within him because he was in constant communication with his Heavenly Father. Every word he said was a word of love from the Father. He didn't speak unless it was the word from the Father. And God is love. Oh yeah, now he did a couple of things. And you, well, how can that be love? Well, because he called it like it was, you vipers. He went into the temple one day and overturned the money changers.
Mm-hmm.
The love of God. Because
yes.
It was contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
It was contrary to his Father. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My people are disciples, sons, duplicates. Portray Jesus to society. This is what God's saying to him. When he saw something that didn't line up with heaven, he infused his reality. And I'm giving you a scripture because God gave me a scripture to fill it. I'm filling in here a little bit. Remember over there in Matthew 6, talking about prayer and in the middle of what we used to call the Lord's Prayer? He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, we're to look at what is happening in heaven. And we're to bring the reality of heaven down here on earth. Well, what's in heaven? Love. The Word of God, God is love. We're to bring the reality of that love down here. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, when he saw something that didn't line up with heaven, he infused his reality. He opened blind eyes. He commanded God's will on earth. That's what love does. Commands the will of God on earth. When something doesn't line up and we're looking in the natural. See, we don't look at the natural anymore. We don't look at the way things are. Because I don't like the way things are. I want to change the way things are. And the only way I can do that is to look to him, to look to heaven and bring heaven down here on earth by what I say according to the Word of God. Because the Word of God will agree with heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
God doesn't have one word for the earth and another word for heaven. It's the same word.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work the same way. Hallelujah. Praise God. It works down here. As we take the Word of God and we bring it down here in the earth, it begins to bring another dimension into the earth. Into the earth.
Thank God for that.
Hallelujah. It gives us another perspective. Praise God. It gives us a true perspective. Praise God. It gives us the authority that we're to walk in. He said, one day after that happened, the Lord orchestrated that. I was at a Kenneth Copeland meeting. Cameron recalled, I thought of the way he leaves the pulpit, talking about Brother Copeland, and walks down the aisle. His eyes are so piercing. Anybody ever looked in his eyes and see those piercing eyes of Brother Copeland? You know what I'm talking about. Well, Jesus' eyes were just like that. So it's so piercing because it's the love of God coming through. Amen. His eyes are so piercing. He goes back to the pulpit and points his finger, commanding God's will to be done. What does love do? Commands the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said to myself, he is acting like Jesus. Suddenly it all made sense to me. We're all actors creating a new reality. Every place we go on this earth, praise God, we ought to be creating a new reality, praise God. It ought to be the reality of not what we're seeing around here, not what it looks like, but the reality of what that word says.
Yes.
Amen. And that word is the word of God, and God is love. So the reality, we're going to create love, realities of love in the earth. And I'm telling you, nobody can resist love. Because it is God.
Yes.
And his word is final authority.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
He's acting like, suddenly it all made sense to me. We're all actors creating a new reality. The only script is the Bible. The only character is Jesus. And then he went on to say, Kenneth Copeland doesn't do religion. He acts like Jesus. He saw that in Kenneth Copeland. Do people see that in us? Wherever you go, are you acting like Jesus? You want the love of God to come out of you? Praise God. Start acting. Acting. Praise God. Use what he gave you. Praise God. Use the love of God and start acting out that love. Every situation you can go into, I can tell you this right now, there's not a situation you can't infuse more love into it. On the job, in a grocery store, wherever you go, there's always room to infuse more love into it. Act like Jesus. I don't know about you, but this really began to make me think a little bit. Hallelujah. The life and ministry of Jesus was the will of God revealed and the love of God in action. Let me just say that again. The life and ministry of Jesus was the will of God revealed and the love of God in action. Amen?
Amen.
He laid down his life and a sacrifice of love for others. His love in us will move us to lay down our lives for others. In other words, putting my brother first. Of course, we see that. 1 John 3:16-18 in the NLT says that we know that what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? I mean, that's pretty plain. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. That's just scripture to back up what we've been saying. You want to know how to walk in love? Read the Gospels and follow Jesus as he walked in love. Because everything he did, he walked in love.
Yes.
He did. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5-7 in the Passion Translation says this. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory to reduce himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. What's that saying? That's saying that when he came down here on earth, he was no longer operating as the Son of God. He operated as the Son of Man. And he became a lowly servant. Galatians 6:10 in the Passion Translation says this. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Mm. Though Jesus was the Son of God, he became the servant of man. Think about it. He was the Son of God, but he became the servant of man. Every place he went, he was showing us how to serve and walk in love. Hallelujah. It was as a human that he showed us how to walk in love of God. There's no conflict between sonship and servanthood. In relationship to God, we become sons. The Bible says we are sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When I'm going this way, praise God, I'm his son. But find my place here. But while in relationship to man, we are servants. I'm a son. I'm looking this way. I'm a servant. Because I've looked this way, and I've praised him. I'm a son. As a son, I have everything. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And I hear what the Father says, and then I take that, and I come out here, and I serve. Amen. So you're both a son or a daughter. We understand that the Bible, what the Bible says. This political correctness stuff gets me going one way. It's ridiculous. We understand what we're talking about, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm a son or a daughter. I'm a servant. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God called us to be servants to the world. Hallelujah. Jesus demonstrated this by washing their feet. Remember that in John 13, 12 through 17? I'm reading out of the NLT. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I'm doing? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Now that was a custom of the day. You know, and I've heard of foot washing services today, but it doesn't have the meaning it had for them, because it was a custom back in those days, that, you know, to wash your feet before you entered somebody, because they wore sandals and they walked in dusty areas. He said, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. What's he saying? God will bless you as you come from the sonship to the servant. God sees you when you serve others. God's with you when you serve others. God will give you what to say when you're serving others. Amen? Praise the Lord. He'll give you the means to serve others. Amen?
Amen.
When men see you as a servant, they will know you as the Son. When men see you as a servant, they'll know you as a son. They'll know, when they see you as a servant, they'll know there's something different about you. They'll know that you've been in the presence of Jesus. You've been exercising sonship so that you can exercise servanthood. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying, spend enough time here so that when you go this way, there's no question. Hallelujah. It becomes obvious. Oh, I'm telling you, that's what's going to make this church different. That's why we're different, because we're walking in love. We're not letting anything come in here. We're walking in love towards one another. And the people are going to notice that, and they're going to want to be in there. It's not because we're a servant. I mean, I don't mind being a servant. It's because of the sonship in our time there that lets us be a servant and lets us show God to the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 13:35 in the NLT says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples."
Amen. Thank you. Wow.
We want to prove it to the world?
Yes.
Take this sonship and let it become servantship. Servanthood. Amen. I tell you, it's a pretty strong message. I mean, it's the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
To become a servant, however, remains a matter of choice. Remember what Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says. "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make." Now I'm using that in a little different context, but it fits here. You choose to be a servant or not. To become a servant is a matter of choice. And if you decide not to be a servant, you're choosing another way. Because when you go out there and you're not serving, taking this sonship and you're not serving, you're allowing the enemy to use you. And the enemy is the opposite of love. The enemy operates in hate and fear. You see that? Every time we choose not to be a servant, we choose death. We choose to operate in fear and hate. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Amen. "Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you will and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life." Love not only, not in word only. Loving without doing lacks demonstration. But doing without loving lacks motivation. Both motivation and demonstration are imperative. Amen?
Amen.
1 John 3:18 in the NLT says this, "Dear children, let not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions." Praise the Lord. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Conclusion. We can wrap all this up. God's love produces action. Amen? If we have been spending time as a son, God's love will produce action when it comes to this life. Galatians 5:6 again. "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." I'm just reviewing. The Passion Translation put it this way, "All that matters now is living in faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love." God is love, period. I can't think of any better way to say what God is and what the Bible says. And God, the Bible says, God is love, and that's period.
Yes.
We can't put any but there. God is love, but He knows what's best. And He knows if we need to go through this. And He knows when we need to learn a lesson, it makes us sick. No, that's not what the Word says. God is love, period. Love does not make people sick. Love does not condemn people. Love does not say you're not worthy. God is love, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you operate in love, period. Because you operate in God. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That love in our is our foundation. It is our starting point and our ending point. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He started out, praise God, he was sent down here as a man to demonstrate love to us, and all through his ministry, all to the end on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All we got to do is walk in love. Remind ourselves that we walk in love. Hallelujah. All that matters is living in faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. That love is our foundation. And I want to remind you of what Cameron Arnett heard God say, that experience he had. What I want you to do is teach my people how to act like me. Hey, this reduces our job down pretty easy. You know that? It doesn't matter. All we got to do is just act like Jesus. Someone said, well, that's easier said than done. Not if you keep this relationship established. So you can't go out and act like Jesus and start out, well, you come in here on Sunday and you've heard a message, praise God, and you've got to assimilate it, you've got to do whatever, and you walk out the door, and on Monday you forget to read the Bible. Or you leave the Bible in the car. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you don't read the Word, you don't listen to the Word, you don't do anything. And expect to be able to love people when you're not keeping this relationship going. We got to keep, it's a daily thing. Because if we don't keep this relationship going, we can't keep this relationship going. It's only if this relationship works that this relationship works.
Yeah.
And you know the world knows the difference. The world can see it. Fake. And they can spot it real quick. And Christians, fake Christians are easy to spot. You know why? Because their actions don't follow what they're saying. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What I want you to do is teach my people to act like me. I want you to teach my people that the Bible is the only script. Jesus is the only character. The Holy Spirit is the writer. The only Jesus people see is you. Amen? What did it say there? The Bible is the script. So you want to know what the script is as you're going out here showing the Word of God. That's why you got to read it every day.
Yeah.
Just act out the Word. It's the script. And how do you do it? You do it as guided and directed by the Holy Spirit.